Yep.
Bo hiss.
And now the end is near.
Bo.
Felger and Mass. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
So we asked LeBron last night if he'd waive his no-trade clause. Now it's your turn. With the deadline coming up tomorrow, do you want to be on this team when that deadline passes?
Yeah, I don't want. I'm tired of being traded. Hey, that's not a good thing, but I just want to be where I want to. And I like it here. I mean, it hasn't been as planned, but I definitely want to be here. We have a real chance to win the NBA championship, and I want to be a part of that.
We're talking about the Patriots, continuing fallout, and then NBA trade deadline today. Do we have a breaking rumor to discuss, Jimmy Stewart? Can we take this to the air?
I believe that Memphis asked for Marcus Smart straight up for Tyreek Evans.
And when Jimmy says, I believe, that's straight from the team's mouth, typically. I don't think I'm wrong in saying that, Jimmy, not to blow up your spot.
So if Evans were signed, I would do it. But if he's not, no. No, because again, I think that, you know, there's a chance that with Smart is, you know, you can include him as part of a bigger deal later on.
Tell me about Evans.
6 foot six, you know, can score. So I don't know a lot about his defense.
It's iffy.
Defensive game is iffy?
Defensive game is iffy.
And he's having a contract year of all contract years. I think he's like 19.5 a game right now is what he's averaging.
Yeah, so look, I think he could fit with what they want to do, but I think one of the real appeals of Smart at the moment is the flexibility you have in terms of being able to get something else. So not for a guy who's up in 3 months. No.
I'm glad they didn't trade Smart. And I'm not sure how seriously they considered it, because I think he's going to win you games. I think he's going to win you games down the stretch. I think he's going to win you games in the playoffs. He's going to help you get to the finals.
I don't think they considered it very heavily.
Good. Good for them. Tyreek Evans, you know much more about than I do.
And I will do it on my own time if he hits the buyout market.
Thank you. You do the Tyreek Evans talk on your own time. That's exactly the kind of player that should be done on your own time. Marcus Smart, I'm glad they kept. He's going to win you games. And then, you know, the only thing I don't do with Smart is overpay him. Like, that's when you get in trouble. If you overpay him, if you pay him like he's a scorer and he's not, and you pay him like he's a starter and he's not, like, then I would not go nuts on the contract.
I think this is one of the reasons why there was a rumor leaked out about him, was to effectively tell him that he is not a $17 million player, that he is closer to a $6 to $10 million player.
And this is what they're saying. They're saying, Marcus, the whole league had a crack at you for not much, and we didn't get any offers because no one wants to pay you what you're asking. Or maybe to get his attention, too, because his head's up his rear end with the way that he plays half the time and this, you know, this incident in L.A. with the breaking of the hand or whatever. Like, maybe they needed to get his attention. I'm fine with all these things. I'm just telling you. In the spring, in the playoffs, he's going to be on the deck making plays that wins you games and get you to the finals.
Okay, so again, this is where I jump off. To what end?
To get to the finals. What's wrong with getting to the finals?
Fine, but if you can get a good asset for him, then you get it.
So we defined good asset, as I said, 15th overall pick. Would you take the 15th overall pick from Marcus Smart? And I said no.
Yes.
No, I'm out on that too.
I would. I would take that in a second. Because again, I don't think Marcus Smart's on your roster next year. Now, if he were, that would be different. But I think he's gone. I think that one way or another, they're moving on from Smart. So I would take the 15th pick for him, absolutely.
My hope is that they keep Smart and let Rozier go, because I think they're not going to keep both.
I like Rozier better.
I think Marcus Smart's going to win you more games.
But if he's back and does what he does best and, you know, frustrates and annoys the competition and they get to the finals like Mike thinks, and I think that's well within reason, too, and he plays his ass off, why wouldn't you bring him back? I would keep Smart over Rozier if that's the case.
To me, it's all about the number. If he, you know, he's not going to be a starter for you, and he's not going to be a scorer. So if he's going to get paid like a starter or a scorer, then no shot. No, I don't give him a bad contract. If he agrees to what Stu said, 6 to 10? Yes.
Yeah, $8 million a year?
Yes.
I'm into that.
He could essentially just accept the qualifying offer of $7 million and then become an unrestricted free agent the next year.
Again, you're going to have to do that sort of talk on your own time.
That's why I kept it short.
He'll get more than 6 to 10. He'll get more than that. I think they offered him more than that before the season. You know, on an average annual basis.
I don't think he will, because the free agent, the teams are in cap crunches right now, and teams are trying to get rid of money.
That's right.
And so few teams have actual open cap space to present to him.
Numbers are coming down.
So, I'm not, you know, I'm not tuned into the NBA market.
I'm doing it on my own time.
I still think that the numbers, I still think that the number is a little bit too low in terms of what he'll get. But you know what? Like, I'm sorry. This last thing out on the West Coast, too, you sort of pissed me off. You punched a picture and you cut your hand and now you can't play. And on top of it, you take a three at the end of the game when you could have passed it to someone else. Like, you know, I'm good there. I like Smart too, but I don't love him that much.
Okay, Pat's reaction and NBA trade deadline. Eric in the car. Go, Eric.
Yeah, I got a two quick points, and then I'll hang up and listen. But if this really is Belichick's walk year, and McDaniels has got the guy in waiting, doesn't that pose a problem for personnel decisions, where Belichick would be skewed more towards winning this year to erase the taste of 52 in his mouth, and McDaniels would be skewed more towards the future when he's the head coach? And my second point is, don't forget what Belichick did to Mankin. I mean, he complained about his contract, and he shipped him off to Tampa Bay, who was probably one of the worst teams at the time, for a fourth-round pick and a crappy tight end.
All right, thanks, guys. You got it. Bill takes care of his guys and buries not his guys, like a lot of people. Oh, he's human. Did you know it? He's actually not a cyborg. He's human, which means sometimes he makes bad decisions for the wrong reasons, like the rest of us, and sometimes he makes it personal. He likes you, he'll take care of you. See Jimmy Garoppolo. He doesn't like you, he'll bury you. See Malcolm Butler. Born out of the same psychosis, in my opinion. The first thing that he said, though, I wanted to wait. Oh. If Bill's in his walk here, are you worried of him pulling a Parcells and just managing for the short term? I would tell you no, and you know why? He doesn't have final say. You know who has final say?
Robert,
which was just established this last year and proven beyond a doubt this year. The owner always has the final say. The owner wanted Terry Glenn in 1996. Now, you can, you know, you lose your coach because of it, but the Patriots, if Bill does something that the ownership doesn't want, or that Nick Caserio or whoever doesn't want, they don't have to do it and they won't do it.
Okay, but again, then why didn't they stand in the way of the Garoppolo deal?
And I also think that Bill won't do that because he doesn't want to be Parcells.
So I think it's more the second thing. I think that if Bill sabotages the whole thing and undermines it, he still has to coach the team on the field. He's going to want to go out there and suck.
But you raise a good question. Why didn't the Crafts veto the Garoppolo deal? Do you know what I think?
Brady?
Yes. Brady wanted him gone, so they're trying to take care of Brady. And, you know, maybe part of the reason Bill didn't shop the offer, didn't shop the player, and took such a bad offer, so maybe he was hoping the Crafts would veto it. And then he gets to extend it a little bit farther with Garoppolo. Maybe that was a sneaky way to try and slip Garoppolo through to the end of the year. But the Crafts, who were so desperate to take care of Tommy, ultimately said, yes, just get him out of here and get Tom out of our pair, please. We're sick of hearing from Tom.
So I just wonder, like, how far, though, that the final say goes. Like, for example, on draft day, what if Bill drafts guys that he wants to draft and the Crafts didn't? Can they stop him?
Of course.
Yeah, I don't know. Once you announce that pick, what are you going to do, walk it back?
No, Crafts in the room.
Mm.
Of course you can, but on draft picks, you're drafting an 18-year-old kid. That's not a play to the future versus a play for now. You know, the things that they got upset with Parcells were guys like, was it Myron Guyton? Like, he brought in a bunch of his Giants guys and overpaid them. And, well, I don't know. You know, they just drafted Bledsoe and gave Bledsoe a ton of money. And so they wanted to, the Crafts wanted him to have a receiver. And Parcells was still building his defense. And so, like, that was a football decision, not a future decision. All I'm saying is Bill doesn't have final say. Robert does. So they're protected there.
Yeah, I just wonder if Bill in his final year, there is a little bit of risk there. There is a little bit of risk. You got a guy who's a lame duck. Like, if that's what it is, I think there is risk there. But believe it or not, I do trust Belichick to do what's in the interest of the football team on the whole.
I'm not worried about it. I don't think he wants to go out like Parcells, and I don't think he wants to screw his kids. You know, if he screws the Patriots over badly, and the kids are still on staff, I mean, but no, I think Bill wants it to be good with the team and go out on good terms and set it up for his family. It won't be any worse than what he did with Garoppolo. We've seen the worst, where he wouldn't even pick up the phone from a team that was willing to give him a first-round pick because he wanted to take care of the kid. It won't get worse than that. That I can guarantee you.
I mean, that really is. Like, the more you look at it, the Niners now are giving this guy basically the biggest contract in the history of the league because they believe he's the next guy. And you know how that's going to get on in San Francisco lore? And they got him for a second-round pick from Bill Belichick. Like, oof.
Well, if he continues to play well, it's 7 games. Let's everybody calm down.
He's good, Murray.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Felger.
I like anti-coupable
and Mass.
Stupid. They're so stupid.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
You know, congratulations to John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan.
Amen.
They absolutely believe in Jimmy Garoppolo and what he's done. And listen, we've seen Garoppolo win those 5 games this season. And, of course, he's won 7 over his career. But what we don't talk about is his locker room presence. And all you hear about in San Francisco is the guy is a professional. Yep. He's brought over that Patriot way to this locker room in San Francisco.
Part of me doesn't love it for Garoppolo's or the Niners' sake.
It's a big contract.
That comes with expectations. That comes with, you know, again, I don't believe in the salary cap, but I do believe in budgets. And if you give someone 30, you can't give someone else, you know, there is only so much to go around. And the more the quarterback takes, the less there is for the roster. And I do think that has helped Brady over the years here on some level. Maybe not as much as he thinks or you think, but it does help on some level. The budgets are real. The cap is not. So, yeesh. Like, if you're a Garoppolo fan and want him to succeed out there, the contract looks great, but it's also, I think, makes it harder on him.
So, again, the comp we have used in the past was Osweiler, right?
Yes, I think Osweiler was much less than that.
No, but this is what I mean. Like, talk about blowing it out of the water. Holy
mackerel. With a small sample size.
Right. Maybe. Well, you know, roughly, I mean, Osweiler was seven.
It was five and
seven.
Two in seven games, yeah.
Okay, so seven games. I thought it was nine games for some reason.
Nope,
but anyway,
seven, it's, just like your boy.
It's comparable. It just goes to show you. But it just goes to show you how much more people look at Garoppolo and think he's that much better. Of course, San Francisco had him inside, too, right?
Well, that was also 2 years ago, and the market dictates the value. You know how horny and crazed GMs are for the next great thing, the white whale that is next great the quarterback, so they got to pay out the
numbers. But, Murray, this is double.
Yeah, no, it's a ton of money.
This
and if
is
he's
double.
As good as you think he is, he will live up to this deal.
Again, Osweiler gets 72. This is 137.5, and the guaranteed money's double.
It is. I was wondering, has Brady ever gotten $90 million over the first 3 years of any of his contracts?
Not that I can think of.
I don't think he has.
Osweiler got 36. This guy got a 74 guaranteed, I think. Even beyond the first 3 years, it's 74 guaranteed.
Oh.
So I have to think this benefits Brady and whatever contract negotiations are going on. Him, Drew Brees, Kirk Cousins this offseason.
So Cousins is going to surpass this. But on Brady. If Brady's looking for a new deal, what does this do for him? And I wonder how Brady feels, because if you're watching on NBC Sports Boston, again, where we simulcast across New England and the country, did Garoppolo Instagram this?
Yeah, he did. This is from his official account.
So if Garoppolo Instagrammed a picture of himself.
Yeah, it's him all cranked up, and he wrote mood, which means like, yeah, mother effer, I just got that money. Yeah.
Woo. Mood.
Yeah.
Mood. And Tommy Brady liked it. Tom Brady liked it. And Rob Ninkovich. right? That's Nink 50.
Brady, a lot of time on a lot of time on that cell phone of his lately.
Yeah, really, huh?
Which really leads me to believe it's one thing. It's just a man and his phone in the bathroom hiding from someone. You know who that is.
So, yeah, who is that?
What are you doing in there? Why is it taking so long? I'm constipated, hon. Just give me a little bit. You've been in there for 40 minutes. It doesn't make any sense. Will you come out and talk to me? We ought to talk about your future in football. Not. I ate something. Too many nuts. Leave me alone. Well, you've all been there. You bring your phone into the bathroom. All of a sudden, your legs are numb. You've been in there a while. Just trying to avoid a certain someone. What are you doing in there, Tom? For the kids' names.
Let's talk about the football.
Yeah. We have to talk about the football in your future, this stupid game. Is it enough? Haven't you learned you're not going to win any more of these? Cramps, honey. I'm going to be here a while. Jesus.
Does Brady take the banana in the tailpipe again this year?
You mean the contract?
What I mean by that is, yes. You know, that he is so... Do you think he drives a harder bargain? And does Garoppolo getting paid like this affect Brady when he goes into the room himself?
Yes and yes. Yeah, yes, I do. I think that absolutely. Like, okay, well, look, this guy's got 7 wins to his credit. I've been to 8 Super Bowls. So what do I get? I would if I were Brady.
Of course you would. I don't think he will. I think this is all part and parcel of the continuing their relationship, which means, yeah, Brady will, you know, this is the Robert talking. We'll ditch the kid and, you know, we'll go forward with you. But your end of the bargain is that you continue to do what you've done in the past, and that is take less. So we can pay others and keep our margins held and all of this. So
the deal's already been made then in some ways.
Well, it's you know, they got rid of Garoppolo to keep the status quo. The status quo is Brady at a good number. And so I think Brady will continue to take care of him when it comes to that. I do believe that.
Okay, I want to see it. I want to see it. Because I'm telling you, if a lot of this went on that we think went on and Brady's pissed, he'll ask for more. He'll want some more.
I mean,
and honestly, I can't say I blame him at this stage. at this stage, like, he's the big winner in everything. Really, you go right across the board. He's the only guy that hasn't taken him, other than the Wickersham piece, which he got absolutely
pounded.
Slammed in.
Pounded. Yeah.
But in terms of the developments, he wins in the Garoppolo trade. You know, he wins in this Belichick-McDaniels thing. Like, he wins across the board, all Brady, all the time.
Kevin in Arlington. What do you got for us, Kevin?
Hey, guys. So another part of this is, so Belichick was trying to do good by on Garoppolo's part, but he was also trying to screw Brady, and this is why. Brady, at the beginning of the year, shared that he and Belichick weren't on the same page, and he was feeling like this might be his last year. Belichick might go with Garoppolo. And Brady shared with some people in Foxborough that a place he would like to go is his hometown.
How do you know that, Kevin? Did you hear that yourself?
So, no. So I know you guys don't like this. That's why I wasn't going to say that. But so his father had been a Catholic priest. Anyway, my dad knows, you know, a good friend. Anyway, so I didn't want to give the backstory.
So you do have inside information that you heard that Tom would like to go back to San Francisco.
At the beginning of the year, he shared, not to Belichick, but he shared to people close to him.
Got it.
That a destination, he was feeling that he and Belichick weren't on the same page, and this was his last year because he was going to go with Garoppolo. So he said, a place I'd like to go is San Fran. So therefore, another reason he didn't call any other places.
I got it.
Belichick wanted to screw Brady and say, this is the one place he wanted to Montana's his idol, obviously.
Kevin.
So, yeah.
These, again, are according to sources within the religious community. But it's okay. You got to trust those folks. You can't trust them. Who do you trust?
Well,
sorry. That's a whole nother topic for a different radio station. So where was I? So look, I've always rejected this. I've always rejected this because it feels too simple. Brady wants to go back to San Francisco. Well, does he really? And I've always said I reject that because Brady wants to be here. Brady doesn't want to be in San Francisco. He wants to be here. And he's always wanted to be here, and this is why we're in the middle of this whole mess. Because Brady put pressure on the owner to get the other guy out of here so Brady can stay here. Brady doesn't want to be a Niner. He wants to be a Patriot. Now, again, if that caller's right, though, and Brady thought he was gone anyway, if he had to go somewhere else, would San Fran be a place that he would want to go? I still find it hard to believe.
Yeah, I mean, they're rebuilding. It's a mess.
Right. They didn't have, you know, Shanahan had just gotten there. There was 0.0 team, you know. I mean, I don't know. I'll trust him, I guess. But I do believe part of the psychology, though, of Belichick trying to do it to screw Brady, because that I think we've come to learn this is how Belichick operates from time to time.
See, I believe that they weren't on the same page at the beginning of the year. I believe that part of the story. I mean, don't we pretty much know that now anyway?
Feels that way.
Like, I feel that is fact. They weren't on the same page at the beginning of the year because Garoppolo was still here and Brady's like the grease in the skids for me. So where am I going next?
Kathy in Framingham. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, how are you doing, guys?
Good.
Oh, you know, I agree that Bill's ego got in the way of all this, but my question is, nobody has really talked about what, you know, RKK, our fearless leader, has thought about the whole situation between Butler and Belichick. So I'm hanging up and letting you take over.
Oh, how could he be happy? How could Robert be happy with it? How could you be? I mean, you just lost a chance at six because your coach didn't put you in the best position to succeed because why? He wanted to bury a player he didn't like? And how does that make you feel good as an owner?
It doesn't.
Like, I'm all for. Like, Belichick was proven right in terms of not giving Butler the contract. I was one of those who said, pay Butler, pay Butler, pay Butler. Bill was right. You know, Butler wasn't worth the contract. And so on that level, I'm sure Robert looks at Bill and says, well, that's another good call, Bill. You know, you didn't throw away, you know, good money after bad, and the kid wasn't worth it, and so we didn't extend ourselves on a contract, and good job there. Good job, Billy. But does that mean you got to bury the guy in the last game of the year when he could help you win?
No. Again, because I look at, to me, if Belichick preaches all the time that the ultimate goal is winning, how does sitting Malcolm Butler serve that purpose? It doesn't. It's that simple. It doesn't. What I'm stunned by this week, because I don't think I've ever seen it with the Patriots under Belichick, is the overwhelming criticism of Belichick. There's nobody out there defending him, really, in terms of the public.
Chris in the car. Hi, Chris.
I cannot believe the ego massage the Patriots are giving poor Josh McDaniels. If you were Adam Jones and you got offered the drive time anchor slot at 97.5 in Indianapolis and you didn't take it, you'd be walking around with a neon loser sign around your neck for the rest of your life.
And so, but what if they told Jones he'd take over for Felger and Maz next year?
Well, you got a market question. I got you there. Okay, but if you can be number one in a good, solid market, a high-performing market in FM radio, or you can, you know, take the Dregs of Felger and Maz calls all night, I mean, come on, man. That's the gig. You
but,
gotta build it.
Okay, I mean, I agree. I mean, that is, if Josh just and I don't think this happened, but if he just generically got cold feet and has no sort of assurances about what's coming here, and he just did it because he changed his mind again, then, oh, my God, you Sally. Like, you broad. And I say it with all the love and respect in my heart to the broads of the world. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you ninny. But I don't think that's what happened. I think he was gone, and they came at the last minute with a really good contract for a lot of money and assurances that he's the guy sooner rather than later. And I think that's what happened. And if they did the same thing to Adam Jones, he wouldn't go to Indy either. He'd take over for us.
So the part that,
good luck with that, Boston.
Yeah, good luck with that. Pac-Man is what I would say. It was a big shoes to fill, partner.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Driven up the left side now, Schaller over the red line, over the blue line. To the left circle, pull and drag, left to the net, he scores! What a spectacular move in the near circle as he blows the doors off one of the Ranger defensemen, completes the mission, goes shelf, finishes on the King, 4-1 Bruins.
They have the best record in hockey.
They do. They have the fewest regulation losses in the league.
They have the best record in hockey. They don't have the most points. They're 1 point behind Tampa for the most points in the league, but they have a game in hand. And if you go by points percentage or winning percentage, they have the best record in hockey. They're going to win the President's Trophy at this pace. They're going to win the President's Trophy. It's the best team in the league.
That thing's a curse. I hope that they don't.
Believe me. Trust me. I'm with you on it. Want nothing to do with that. But just to appreciate, if you watched last night, they ran the Rangers out of the gym.
They really did, yeah.
The cut that we played you, this is Tim Schaller, who is a 4A kind of player, borderline NHL player, fourth liner. He skated through three or four Rangers and went bar down on Henry Lundqvist. Looked like, I said, Teemu Selanne earlier. Tim Schaller. Chara plucks a corner. Bergeron has almost never looked better. Offensively, anyway. This is as good as he's looked since he was an 18-year-old kid and first came in the league. This
oh, I think like, he's having the best year of his career.
Points-wise, have you looked that up?
I'm just saying by the way he plays. I mean, the goal scoring's off the charts with him right now.
This is, you know, before he got the bad concussion from the kid in Philadelphia, he was looking like he was going to be a real offensive player, and since that concussion, he became more of a defensive two-way kind of player. This is as good as he looked offensively to me since before that concussion, which is, you know, 10 years ago now, a long time ago. They have the best record in the league. They're tied for the best goal differential in the league. They're sixth on the power play. They're fourth on the penalty kill. They're first in goals against per game. They're fourth in goals for per game. 5-on-5, they're what?
5-on-5, they've allowed the fewest goals in the league. And they're fifth in goals for.
It's insane how well they're playing.
They're a wagon. And it's, it's unbelievable.
And it's now to the point, like, do you have to start buying in and believing in them? And when I say that, I mean, as a front office executive, do you now have to add to this team because you have a legit chance to win the cup? Do you have to look at it that way if you're Don Sweeney? Where you say, we're playing as well as any team in the league, and we've done it now, not just for a week or a month, but this is about a two-month sample here. Maybe more. When did they bench Rask? Middle of November?
No, it's about 2 months. You're right. It was, it was middle of November, right? It was November 15th.
It started with that West Coast trip when they bench Rask. Okay, and since then, those 2 months, they've been the best team in the league. So that's a two-month sample now. If the trade deadline is awesome in hockey, there's like they do it with like six games left like this. They do it so late
26th.
In the year. 26th. Yeah, it's so late in the game. The 26th of February?
It is, yeah. It's 2 weeks from Monday.
Okay. Are you morally obligated to add to a team that is going to win the President's Trophy or come very close? And have a real chance to go deep, deep. Do you have to add?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so, too. With the way that the veterans are playing, Bergeron, Char, with these guys, you have to take advantage of it. I mean, between him and Krejci and everybody else. Like,
and I'll tell you what, there's not much I really need to add. I need a right wing for Krejci. That's it. Spooner's doing it right now, and he's been good. I love DeBrusque. The more I watch DeBrusque, the more I like him.
He made a great play last night to set up a goal.
Speed. He's just...
But he worked hard. He got the puck, and then I'm trying to remember whose goal it was. He set it up, though. He worked
his ass. Yeah, it was Chara's goal.
It was Chara's goal. He did. He's the one who dug and fought and got the puck and passed to Chara. It was a good play.
So, you give me someone legit next to Krejci, that the Bergeron line is the best in hockey. If you can get Krejci back up, you know, and he's been decent this year, but, you know, that a legit second line. The third and fourth lines on this team have been bananas good. I don't think they need much. I really don't. A really good left shot D? I don't know. So you go Chara, then someone, then Krug? You know, I don't know.
But the way that you phrase it, are they morally obligated? I think when I look at the age, so Bergeron's what, 32, Krejci's 31, Chara's 40. I know.
Let me tell you this.
They have to.
They will never have another year where they get Bergeron and Chara playing as well together as they're playing right now. I mean, Chara's been good. And Bergeron's been as good as he's ever been. But they're not, between injury and age, you're not going to get those two guys playing at this high a level again. There's no way.
Okay, so all I would say, though, is don't overpay, though. Don't do something ridiculous where all of a sudden you're giving away, you know, three prospects when you should give away one and a half or something like that. Because, frankly, look, I love this team. I love what they've done. But it's a great story. I mean, it's an absolutely phenomenal story. But don't they feel like they bring it every night?
Yeah.
Okay, how many teams in the league do that?
Right, so it could totally be a regular season mirage. No question about it.
I mean, they could. I would not be shocked if they lost in the first round. I'm not saying that.
Of course, you couldn't.
So
here's the problem with catching Tampa, is that you're going to get the wild card team from that other division, and that's been Pittsburgh for a lot of the year. It could be Washington. Those teams are really closely bunched. It could be like one of those teams.
I know it's a different sport. They remind me a little bit of the Celtics of the last couple of years. Like, you know, they work their asses off. They play hard, likable team. But do they really have the horses that Tampa and Pittsburgh have?
Oh, it's a fair question.
They
don't. By the way, they don't.
So I wonder. I just say, so if I'm Sweeney, I add. But I add prudently. I don't do something ridiculous. And they got guys they can trade now. There's no two ways about that. They got plenty of guys in their system. They can move some guys. But don't move any of the big pieces.
They're not just the hottest team in hockey. They're the second hottest team in sports. I still have to go Eagles number one. I'm sorry. But they're unrecognizable if you just turn them on and watch them. It's like they do everything and everything well. They're plucking corners and scrub, you know, again, all respect and love in my heart, scrub players going bar down. Like, it's just like, and it's been going on for 2 full months. So anyway, we do have a hockey season. We may really have a hockey season.
It's redonkulous what they're doing.
Let's wrap it up with your calls. Doug and Melrose on Tom Brady. Go ahead, Doug.
Yeah, this has more to do with Belichick. I'm saying if Tom Brady's play drops off, you said yesterday that play drops off, and all of a sudden we're 9-7 and missing the playoffs. Do we put up with Belichick's, you know, being a dink?
You know, Bill's had a tough week, which is refreshing in some ways. Like, that restores a little bit of my faith in the Boston sports fan. I mean, even Bill Belichick, who's impeccable, can have a bad night, and you can call him on it. Like, good. That's the way it should be. Beyond that, I don't think you're going to, like, most people like it when he's a dink to the media. So don't think that fans are going to rally against Bill Belichick because he's being mean. I think people like it when he's mean to us.
Oh, sure. They hate us more than they hate anything.
That's an easy one.
Yeah, of course. But I do find it interesting that this Butler thing, boy, people have lined up against Bill like I've never seen. Even all the other ones, Deflategate, Spygate, there were people defending him. Not now.
Corey on the North Shore. Hi, Corey.
Hey, guys. Sweetie's about the thing about this. Belichick obviously wanted to win with Jimmy, and Brady put an end to that. So he says, you know what? I'm going to trade Jimmy to the NFC. I'm going to trade him to a place that he really can be playing me and beating me too much. And then, you know what? Despite all this, I'm just going to hit everybody with a hind on my way out of New England and just go to San Fran and hoist the Lombardi Trophy in Brady's backyard and have the parade route through San Mateo.
Okay. I mean, maybe. To me, if he was afraid of Cleveland, shame on him. If he was afraid of Garoppolo going to Cleveland and turning Cleveland around, shame on him.
See, I don't think that was it. I just think he didn't want to bury Garoppolo there.
He liked Garoppolo, so he wanted to take care of him. He doesn't like Butler, so he buried him. Again, decisions born out of the same psychology, same kind of decision, just on the opposite ends of each spectrum. But that is ultimately why I think he didn't go to Cleveland. I do not, and I hope Bill did not think like, ooh, I sent him to Cleveland. I got to deal with Jimmy in Cleveland for the night. Would you not worry about Cleveland? If Cleveland was willing to offer you a first-round pick that's turned into the fourth overall pick, I mean, again, just think of that. You could be sitting here with number four overall. You could be sitting here with the number fourth overall pick. This is like the Celtics winning the title and getting draft bias the next year, or the Lakers bringing in James Worthy after winning a championship. This is like, you don't get that opportunity. This is like the Bruins winning the cup and bringing
Tyler
Seguin.
I
could see your eyes.
I was just going to say it. They got Seguin, they had him on the roster as a rookie, and they had Dougie Hamilton coming. Go ahead.
Say, but we don't need to go back through that. But what a position. Like, you could trade Garoppolo, but be in position to immediately reload at that position. Immediately. If all you did was pick up the phone from Cleveland, they would have given you that Houston first-round pick, and you'd be sitting here at number four.
It really does make you look at that trade now, especially that contract with Garoppolo, and go, wow, San Francisco's loving life, man. So did my eyes open like Mike Singletary right there? I was like, whoa.
Could read you, you telegraphed it from a mile away.
A bad poker player.
Kevin in Brighton. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, guys. You mentioned a little while ago about the Patriots relying maybe a little bit too much on, you know, seeing how the game goes and then making in-game adjustments. I think there's a little bit more to that. If you look at, not to belittle the Tom versus Time docuseries, but there's an instance when he's in the car after the Carolina game, he's venting to McDaniel, and he says, you know, sarcastically, you know, we're the Patriots. We're just going to roll our helmets out there, and we're going to win, and, you know, we'll score. You know, we'll do it. We're the Patriots. Mm-hmm. I think this postseason, especially in the latter two games, that mentality just sort of caught up with them, and they ran into a team and the Eagles that they weren't able to overcome.
Hey, Kevin, let me just stop you. Thank you for the call. Because you might be right. Maybe the players got a little complacent. Backup quarterback, you know. We always pull it out. I wonder, though, did the coach fall into that trap? Coach says, I'm going to bury this player. I'm going to show everybody that we can win without him. I mean, could he help us? I guess. But we can win without him. Because we're the Patriots. I have Brady, and this is a backup quarterback, and the Eagles on the other side. We'll pull it out.
I mean, he did go to the T-Wolves or the T-Wolves game on Thursday night. And again, I don't care how long he stayed there. The mere fact that he was out there suggested to me that he was feeling pretty good, pretty comfortable.
I mean, and who does? He was trying to lose a game or sabotage you like that. He felt he could prove his point and win. And that's how he proves a point, by winning. I can sit your ass on the bench. You're not bigger than the team. And I'm going to prove it because you're going to sit on the bench and you're going to stew all night long and we're still going to win.
I mean, he's done it so many times.
You bet.
Like, you can understand why he would feel that way. He just overplayed his hand. He did. He overplayed his hand, and it blew up in his face. And again, I can't ever remember a situation with the Patriots in the last 18, 19 years where people have lined up so universally against Bill Belichick.
It's just such a staggering decision. And again, I'm not even willing to say that it cost them the game. There's no guarantee that you win. I've never said that. But it's just so glaring. It's just so striking.
But again, Mike, think of that.
Like, how did the guy not get in the game?
He has cost them two first-round picks, millions of dollars. He got Brady suspended for four games, at least in part, you know, because he had to know about it. I'm sorry. All of that. And there's always someone to defend him. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Felger. Everybody else in the league does it. Yeah, Felger. You don't think Pittsburgh's letting the air out of the balls? Yeah, Felger. What about them? Huh? What about the Giants? They run headset, Felger, and they didn't get suspended. Huh, Felger? Huh? There's always that. Always.
On this one?
Zippo. Zip. They're all lined up against him. Really, it's unbelievable that he pissed off the entire fan base on this one.
Final word comes your way next.
You're listening to Felger and Bass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
No one says it like they do.
So my question to the people of Boston is, what are you nuts?
Felger and Maz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. Town Fair Tire, the best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody. I want to follow up on that Zolak take there, maybe tomorrow. Does this feel worse than those Giants losses?
Not the first one.
Not the first one.
The second one, maybe. Yeah. In fact, I would say yes, because the other day when you asked me to list the losses, this one might be second.
So if you know, it'd feel worse in real time. That 07 loss would feel worse in real time. But I think if we look back through perspective, this might be among the worst. The other losses, the bad losses the Patriots have had. I'm sorry to do this topic now, but just let me do it. At least you've lost to Hall of Famers and champions. You know, Peyton Manning, Hall of Famer, legit competition. Tom Coughlin, the Giants, multiple champion. They validated themselves, proved themselves. That Ravens team won twice, won a championship. Like, those are legit opponents at the end of the day.
Mark Sanchez?
Little less so. Okay, so no one feels good about that Jets loss in 2010. So I didn't put the Jets on the list. But I said, for the most part, your big playoff losses have been to champions.
Yep.
If Nick Foles and this Eagles team ends up doing nothing, ooh, you're going to look back at that and say, you lost to that backup quarterback, one and done, one hit wonder? Ooh, that's going to sting. All because Billy had a hair across his ass because of his cornerback? Like, I mean, really, that is going to hurt. All right, sorry, go ahead.
That's good. I feel great about that now. So we have three pieces of sound here. There is one thing that has made me feel better since Sunday, and, well, it's this. Yeah, Jimmy Stewart, get in here. Let's belly bump. Oh, you know how much I needed this after Sunday? I really did. It's so petty. It's so petty, but I don't care. Oh, that made me so happy today. And I'm going to enjoy this all day long.
Welcome into Felger Maz. We're going to start with some NBA trade deadline stuff, where basically all the players you've been calling untouchable franchise players were dealt today by the Cleveland Cavaliers if they blow it up.
It's unbelievable. Again, and Isaiah in Cleveland played in 15 games. They went 7-8. 7-8.
Oh, God.
What did they win last year? They went 53 games at the Celtics. Is that how many they won? But my point is, he went to a better team. And they went 7-8.
I won't crow about much, but this, I'm going to walk around like this the rest of the day. Maybe the rest of the year. Me and you, Jimmy. And Dan Lifshatz, too. We were right. You overrated him. Large portion of the Celtics fan base who wants to put this guy up there with the likes of Bird, Pierce, Hondo, and others. And he's a throw-in for the second time in less than a year on another deal. Goodbye. Goodbye.
How do you strut, Maria?
Oh, yeah.
Please show the simulcast.
You see me tonight. Where is he now? The mouthy little peanut who goes to Cleveland for just a couple of months, and he's acting like it's his team. Here's me patting myself on the back. Good. I was right. Okay. Naz lost it again here, mid-sentence.
Oh, yeah.
It was two times in a week, right?
This is great. Yeah. If they did the same thing to Adam Jones, he wouldn't go to Indy either. He'd take over for us.
So the part that...
Good luck with that, Boston.
Yeah, good luck with that Pac-Man, is what I would say. It was a big shoes to fill, partner. The other part of it, like, it is stunning when you... I lost my train of thought.
That's okay. You know, man, here's an update.
It's been that kind of week, can I tell you?
And this was, we didn't... We didn't really have any production today for the NBA trade deadline, so...
I blame you, Murray.
That's so good. Like, those are such verbal crutches. You got nothing, but if you say it, it really occurs to me that when you really think it, then it's just you formulate your thought during that time.
Yeah, no. You think and talk at the same time. And I used to be able to do that. And then Murray took me out last Tuesday night, killed my brain cells, and that was the end of that. Now, all of a sudden, it's like the what do they call that? The frontal lobe or whatever?
Completely demolished.
Yeah, whatever it is, Murray destroyed it.
Still being blamed for this. You losing your phone.
Oh, it's been a total yard sale. I've just recently been able to pull my life back together, Murray. Honestly.
Seriously, I haven't recovered
yet. It's been 7 days of just complete nonsense.
It's awesome.
No, I got to, like, purge my body. Like, I just strictly water and bread for, like, the next week.
Jim Murray's greatest accomplishment.
Finally, we have this.
It's NBA trade deadline day. You guys got a song for something like that? You got anything for it? Oh, deadline day. Oh, nothing.
No, we could sing it live if you'd like. No, we didn't have anything.
You got anything?
Oh, deadline day. Oh, deadline day. Isaiah, you're a loser. Stand Pat Movement 3.0.
Stand Pat. So and the Chiefs have cut Revis. Yes, a lot of music today on the show.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.